I love working on this show. I love it when Chris goes away because I get a chance to come in and talk to you. But we meet some wonderful people on this show too, I've got to say. And it's pretty unbelievable to think that one person could be responsible for some of our country's greatest hits, really, over the past five decades, not only here in Australia, but around the world. It is absolutely true. Hurry, don't be late. I can hardly wait. I said to myself when we're on.
Little ray of sunshine has come into the world. A little ray of sunshine in the shape of a girl.
Off the hits, and I tell you what, that man is Glenn Shorrock, the giant in the Australian music industry. His royalty, he's done it all from 60s pop band The Twilights to Axiom, and of course, the Little River Band, who we all love. And you've got to remember, all of this happened in a time when the music world barely batted an eyelid at Aussie talent. But any band that Glenn was part of seemed to make it big, and I'm very pleased that Glenn himself is here with us in the studio. Mr. Glenn Shorrock, hello to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Wow, when you listen to all of those hits and you sit back and look at the accomplishments that you've been involved in and that you've spearheaded,
yeah.
Do you pinch yourself at times?
I do. Sometimes I think that I do that. You know, and it's... I'm more impressed, but I'm still standing, actually.
Well, look, you're standing and them some, and I've got this wonderful autobiography that you've just released. Congratulations.
Thank you.
With this strapping young man on the front cover. Look at how handsome you are. Goodness me.
As I said, that was taken a couple of years ago.
Oh, exactly. Just yesterday.
But I've aged horribly over the last 2 years.
I don't agree. But the book is a wonderful achievement, some great photographs. And it
Do you like the title?
Now, Where Was I?
Where was I?
And why did you come up with that as the title?
Well, it's about memories, isn't it? You know, where was I?
Where was I?
Trying to put it all together again.
And what was I doing then?
And, well, we all do that. You know, you walk into a room now and say, what did I walk in? Where are my glasses? Where was I?
I say that a lot, don't you worry.
You do.
But is it right that you have never kept a journal?
Yeah. Biggest regret, really. But I kept a lot of stuff, you know, and I've got boxes of it at home. My mum's got a lot of scrapbooks.
Thank goodness for mums keeping all the cutting it out of the paper and the local magazine.
Yeah, she did a lot of that. I think she was living her life vicariously through me. I think she was a bit jealous of me.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. She gives me a hard time.
Did she encourage you, though, along the way? Tell us a bit about...
Yeah, she encouraged. Dad didn't. No, he didn't. He bash, bash, thump, thump, tuneless, flaming jungle music.
Is that right?
That's what he said.
Goodness me.
He only saw me work twice in 40-odd years.
Only came and saw two of your shows?
Yeah.
Oh, so how does that make you feel? That must be a regret too,
no,
isn't it?
It doesn't worry me because I know my dad, you know.
Okay.
You're looking at him. He was a dour Yorkshireman.
Right.
With a great sense of dry humour, you know. And I remember we did a show with the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra in 1977, which became a live album. And I convinced him to come along there. I said, come along, Dad, because there's violins and everything. It's an orchestra.
You get him in that way.
And he said, all right, I'll come. And then I met him for breakfast afterwards. I stayed at home in Elizabeth. And he's there with his crack cup of tea, as usual. And I said, hey, morning, Dad. Morning. So what did you think? He said, what? I said, the concert. Did you like the concert? Oh, yeah, we're grand. It was lovely seeing you up there with all those violins. But it was too loud. It was too loud. You didn't have to have it that loud. And he said, What were those packing cases either side of the stage for? Were they to put your drums in?
Oh, don't you love it? Don't you love it? You do his accent so well. It's gorgeous. So tell us about your early life, because you were born during a pretty...
I wasn't born, I was quarried.
You were quarried during a tumultuous time in the world.
Yeah, the V-bombs were still dropping.
Mm.
The V-1s, the little buzz bombs we used to call them. I was, you know, an infant. I was born in 1944. to safeguard me, I was placed in the bottom drawer of the dresser.
You were you? Mm. I love it. That's I love I those images. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But that's not where the book started, though. You didn't start sort of from the beginning, did you? You've kind of outlaid that, but you've given us a taste about some wonderful sort of experiences along the way, too.
I started the book with the business about the LRB name loss, you know, and all that rigmarole that went on that I still don't understand. Because the publisher said that's what people most want to know about, why Little River Band lost their name. So I wrote it down, and as I said, I still can't understand it.
So tell us a bit about that, about what's happened and why it confuses you so much.
Do I have to?
Well, just a little pricey.
Well, we were directors of a company called Little River Band, and gradually we weren't directors or whatever. We resigned or were fired or whatever.
Mm.
There was a revolving door in Little River Band. People went and people came in, and we get to the stage where we've all left, and we want to reform again.
Mm.
And they said, no, you can't use the name Little River Band. One director who was left standing owned the name, so he said, no, you're not going to have it.
And is it right that you've had to get special permission to perform as LRB for when you were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah, that's right, for one night. Yeah, we said, can we be LRB for one night?
Goodness me.
He conceded that, at least.
Yeah, well.
He lives in Ireland. He doesn't perform with the band. He puts another mob of guys together, and they go out and they play my songs. That's all right. I don't mind, you know, because I'm busy anyway.
Well, that's it, and you are busy.
Yeah, but for some of the other members of the band who are not busy, They get a bit miffed about it. But, you know, less life.
Yeah. Now, tell us about how you first got into music in the first place. Was it always in your blood?
Yeah, Dad sang at home. He sang opera badly in the shower.
Did he?
No, he's got a really nice voice. He had a nice voice.
Because you were in Adelaide, grew up in Adelaide.
Grew up in England, and we migrated to Adelaide in the 50s. Well, there was no one really musical, you know. Mm. I mean, my aunties played records of Sinatra and whatever, and I listened to them, and Dad played records of Benjamin Gigli and all the great Italian tenors, and I listened to those. And then Elvis came along, and I was 12, 13, and I was called a teenager, which was a new term for
us. It was, in that era.
Yeah.
And did Elvis sort of flick a bit of a switch in you as he did with so many other
Absolutely.
People of that era?
Oh, yeah, captivated me.
He shook it up, literally.
He shook it up. And funny you should say that, because that's one of my favourite songs, and
Is
there's
it?
A story on that as well.
Yeah.
But he had that menace about him too, you know, he had that mystery about him. He was sexy.
He had that dangerous sexiness.
Even for a 12-year-old boy,
you could
sexy.
See that. You could see that. Yeah.
So his picture went up on my wall, and then I sought out all the other rock and roll stars of those days: Jerry Lee Lewis and the Everly Brothers. Little Richard scared the shit out of my parents.
Really?
Yeah, with his voice.
Oh, my goodness.
But he was great. I loved him.
Yeah, wow. Now, you tried a few different jobs here and there as you were finishing high school. Nothing really caught your attention, but you went to see a colleague perform with his vocal quartet live, and you were approached by them to replace one of their singers before he decided to rejoin the group.
Yeah.
So you missed out. Disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing. I was only 17 at the time. And I ran home. I said, "I'm going to be a rock and roll singer, Mum." And then he came back in, and I'm left with all this enthusiasm, and nowhere to go. But I said to my friends, who we sang together just for fun, as people do.
Mm.
We sang the Hit Parade and the doo-wop songs of the time, Run Around Sue and At the Hop and things like that. I said, "Why don't we give it a crack?" And that was the birth of the Twilights, and that carried on into the recording band, the Twilights, into the 60s. The Beatles came along and changed everything. Everything went seismically sideways, and people started writing their own songs, and the group became the most important thing. Mm. We gave up our jobs, day jobs. I was 20, and we moved to Melbourne and became professional musicians.
And then you grew and grew and you went from there. Look, I would love to talk to you for longer. Time is against us. It's a wonderful accomplishment.
Yeah,
and I reckon
it's a long story.
Any new muso, anyone who wants to make it in the industry needs to read this because it's got some great insights into, you know, you're a legend in Australia. And I'm really, really honoured to have you in here talking about the book. Well done, you.
Thank you, Debbie. But it's called Now Where Was I? And I think when you read the book, you'll understand why, because people of my age don't know really where they've
often
been.
Often wonder that themselves. Well, Glenn, it's an honour to see you. Thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Deb.
Glenn Shorrock there. And if you want to get a hand of that book, Now Where Was I? Head to any good bookshop. It is a beautiful book. It's a great one and a hard copper as well.
Vintage Cellars are Australia's fine wine specialists. We stock a great range of your favourite wines, champagnes, spirits and beers. Explore the range in store or online at vintagecellars.com.au. Vintage Cellars. Australia's fine wine specialists since 1951.